I guess so, yeah.
1, 2, 3, testing. 1, 2, 3, testing. Senate Committee on Judiciary, hearing room 453B at the State Capitol in Salem. It's May the 24th, 1989. The time is 1 o'clock. We have the following on the agenda. Work session on House Bill 2188A, House Bill 2277, House Bill 2470, HB 2668A, HB 2691A, HB 2769. Public hearing on the following: HB 2282, HB 2513, HB 2518. Public hearing and possible work session on the following: HB 2561, HB 2583. Work session carryovers from 523, HB 2465A, and HB 2529.
Off the agenda to further work out the details on amendments. We will send Catherine back to work on, and her bills are House Bill 2769, House Bill 2561, House Bill 2583 will kind of come to the end of the agenda. We'll call her back. Thank you, Catherine. And we have one, we don't quite have a quorum. We have Bauman here, and then I'd like to take Janice here, and we could do a work session on the Janice one, on the juveniles, 2691. Right, that's it. Isn't that the one you're here for, Janice, 2691?
No, I sent Jack back to get Shoemaker or something, you know, fair play.
You're getting to have a sense of humor, Grinsky.
Well, I'm trying.
Well, I'd like to get one more person to have a work session on 2691 to get that out of the way, and then take up the full forfeiture bill. I hate to start the forfeiture, and then, and you just want to come and say something?
You call him in the office.
Okay. Okay, why don't we take, do you want to come and say something? You want to say it now to just the three of us?
Sure.
Sure, you can say it.
Okay.
And then you can tell everybody else what I said. It's quick.
Okay. Come on up.
There's one.
Representative Bauman will lead off on House Bill 2282. And then we're going to go back to take care of a couple work session bills and move to the witnesses on that bill. Representative Bauman.
Thank you. I'm Representative Judy Bauman from House District 13, Southeast Portland. And this is a treat because I read in the newspaper that the House Judiciary Committee has been sending the Senate Judiciary Committee disreputable legislation, or if not disreputable legislation, at least at times legislation that, in the opinion of some, we have not considered as carefully as we might. This is not one of those, and I strongly support this bill. I really came to let you know the extraordinary history behind House Bill 2282 in terms of crafting legislation. This started off as a recommendation to the House Judiciary Committee in the 1987 session. There was a joint interim committee under the leadership of Representative Burton, which put together an interest group on forfeitures. I just think you should know that I had Bill Taylor, the administrator for the civil subcommittee on the House side, tally up the hours that we spent in that subcommittee working on this, and that's in addition to all of the hours the interim committee spent working on this legislation, and we came up with 14 hours of committee time. I strongly support this legislation.
Does that mean you don't want us to tamper with it?
I'm not going to suggest that you not tamper with it. I would suggest that before you tamper with it, you get to know Mr. Shepherd, who's sitting behind me, who's here from the Attorney General's office, who I think probably knows more about this subject, has worked through the interim, and he will guide you in your tampering. He guided us through a lot of our tampering. We did put two things into the bill which I think are a benefit to those who feel rightly that this is an extraordinarily powerful and novel bit of legislation, and those two pieces are an oversight committee and a sunset.
Okay, good. Thank you. Any other questions?
Madam Chair?
Yes, Senator Brennan.
Excuse me. Did you see the TV, perhaps, when I think it was the Channel 8 magazine program, PM Magazine, a week ago, I think, that in Philadelphia, maybe you're aware of this, are confiscating cars on drug buyers to make an impact? You looked at that at all as anything you might be interested in?
Confiscating cars of drug buyers.
A step further.
I don't think that does take it a step further. I think you could, under this legislation, confiscate the car of a drug buyer, Senator Brenneman.
Think you could?
Yes, absolutely. That's right. Although the focus of this bill is drugs, the bill can also, it establishes a process by which local governments can civilly forfeit the fruits of any criminal activity, including prostitution, gambling, or a DWS, or driving under the influence. But certainly, buying drugs is directly addressed by 2282.
You may have it right in front of your face today.
They said it was pretty effective.
It's my suspicion that it will be effective.
Any questions? Senator Springer.
Jerry, tell me about, and there may be others who can speak to the technical aspects, and if you want to defer the response to them, that's fine, but how does this treat the balance, if you can call it that, between, say, state law enforcement needs versus local law enforcement needs? I know that local law enforcement, obviously, they want this money for all the reasons I'm sure they've stated to us many, many times over the years, more, more, more. We can't get it from our local taxpayers, so this is, quote, a new revenue stream for us, which, you know, may create some problems for those who see financial reward as an incentive to, quote, enforce the law. It doesn't seem to be quite the way our system ought to work, but aside from that, the needs of local law enforcement versus the needs of our own state police, which have been horribly underfunded for years as well, and we've had a lot of testimony that those deficiencies and underfunding are probably the reason that we've gotten to the sorry state of affairs we're in now, particularly with drug traffic. Does the state law enforcement interest retain any opportunity here? Or are we just going to say, okay, cities and counties, for your local cops and your sheriffs, this is going to be your new revenue source?
Yes, the bill does take care of state law enforcement possibility to participate and to participate in realization of the fruits of forfeiture as law enforcement revenue. And I think Pete Shepherd can speak to that better than I can. I can just tell you, Senator Springer, that I was at the front of an effort to get local government to contribute a portion of their gross receipts to do methamphetamine lab cleanup. And there was a loud outcry. And one of the reasons I want very much for the Oversight Committee and the Sunset to stay in place is I think it's real important that we get with some accuracy, a little bit of data on how frequently this can be used, how expensive it is to use it, and what the expectation in terms of the fruits of a forfeiture action is to local or to state law enforcement. And if we find that they are realizing a great deal more than they need to conduct the investigations, then I think we can come back and look at methamphetamine lab cleanup or look at funding other programs for the state police.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Judy. Let's before we get fully into this bill, because it is going to take some time, there's a fair amount of witnesses, and it's a complex bill. This committee needs to understand it. Let's move to some of our work sessions. We have House Bill 2691, which deals with juveniles and more explicitly, I think, their parents, who are the juveniles who come under the purview of the juvenile court system, require an authorization that their parents be brought into treatment. And we have amendments, right, Jack?
That's correct.
That have been requested by Janice Yaden of the governor's office.
And I'll pass those out to you now.
That's what you can say if Jim Hill is excused. Just stay right there, just move your name. You can be vice chair.
Madam Chair, while he's distributing that, it seems to me I carried a bill on the floor that did something similar
it
to
did
this.
This is a part of our little prearrangement. You'll remember the testimony. The governor's office said they liked the Senate bill better than the House bill, and so these amendments essentially take out some things that the House had in it, and we're really conforming essentially this bill to the Senate bill that you carried, and we'll go ahead and do that quickly and take care of the whole matter and relieve the House of a moment of their duties.
So we'll pass the bill the governor sponsored.
Right.
I don't know who sponsored 719, but
I don't know either.
Hey, that's cool. Anything for my governor.
Probably Republican.
Probably what?
Probably Republican.
No, as a matter of fact, I think it was an agency. One of those, she says no. It was a representative. Whatever.
We already. What happened to
weren't
the one?
Weren't you listening?
Yes, I was, and I was reading though at the same time. What happened to the other one? Sitting in the House, and we don't want to.
It's over in the House committee, and we will move on this one before they get around to doing our Senate bill, and then we will have settled the issue and avoided a conference committee.
Oh, okay.
Madam Chair, the amendments I passed out delete the clear and convincing language that we discussed in the public hearing. That's a pretty straightforward amendment. That language is found on page 4 of the printed bill.
Madam Chair, I'd move the amendments if we're in work session.
Yes, we are. Senator Springer moves -A2 amendments to House Bill 2691. Are there objections to that? So ordered.
Move the bill as amended to the floor. Do pass, Madam Chair.
Senator Springer moves House Bill 2691 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion?
This now conforms to the bill that we earlier dealt with.
Toss up here.
It was a late night last night. I need to send notes, I think.
Not quite as late as Ag and Natural Resources, Madam Chair, but.
Any more discussion on this?
Well,
bill?
I'd like to ask Jack something. If
yes.
Clear and convincing evidence has been removed, what is the standard then?
Well, the juvenile courts have their own.
Is preponderance then? Is that it?
I believe so.
Okay. Doesn't need to be stated in there, apparently.
Call the roll, please, Andrea.
Senator Brockman.
Aye.
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 All right, motion carried. Thank you. And who carried this last time? Springer did? You can get it again.
Yes,
thank
ma'am.
You.
Thank you.
No, we haven't done anything.
Jack? Okay, let's. 2022. Interesting. 2188, this is the police bill.
This is the bill.
State police.
Request of the Department of State Police that has to do with destructive devices. You'll recall we had some testimony from a representative of the state fire marshal's office.
Mm-hmm.
There are some amendments.
and I'll pass those out to you.
Remember the guy that just married the bomb?
You'll recall there was an amendment proposed in the written testimony from the fire marshal's office in Gresham, and that amendment would include a definition of pyrotechnic device. Now, in the amendment he submitted, there was an issue, a question I raised as to whether he wanted that inserted on the first page in the list of prohibited items, or in fact inserted in section 2, which is the section that prohibits unlawful manufacture. I got a written communication back from that office. I was in fact correct, and they want that just simply addressed in the manufacture section. So the amendment that we have from Legislative Council, which is A3, would include manufacture of pyrotechnic devices in the prohibited conduct with respect to section 2. So in effect, it would be a Class C felony to manufacture what are commonly known as M80s and real large firecrackers, rather than simply make them criminal to possess them. So that's the A3 amendment.
Are there other, Wes, we have amendments to state police too, didn't we?
That is the amendment, the A3 is the amendment that the state police communicated to us about.
Is that it?
There's another amendment that I've drafted too. In reviewing the bill, I had a concern with page 1, line 13, the language device similar to any of the devices described above. My opinion is that's probably unconstitutionally vague, and if the committee's interested, I've drafted an amendment to delete that language.
Delete what, all of it, or?
Line 13.
Just delete it, right.
Okay.
I'd be interested in that.
Okay, anybody objecting to deletion of line 13?
Line 13 and the word or on line 14 as well.
Are there objections to that? Hearing none, so ordered.
Madam Chair.
Senator Shoemaker.
Apropos of our discussion yesterday about the differences between intended for use and marketed for use, I wonder if perhaps we might want to amend the words intended for use on line 15 to read marketed for use. If all the same questions arise.
I think they would in this circumstance, Jack.
I can't answer.
I wouldn't want to do that here because I think it's quite different. If you're building a destructive device, you're intending it in different ways, and so I would like to not do that.
This is a
possession.
If you possess, I guess you're right.
And we're not really debating anything that has to do with free speech here. And Bob, I really do want to leave it. Are there any other? I don't see any other amendments here. Bring on. The dash A3 amendments. Are there objections to the? The chair would move House Bill 2188 dash A3 amendments. Are there objections? Hearing none, so ordered. Jack, do we have anything else on further on this bill?
No, we're set to go.
Madam Chair, I'd move House Bill 2188 is amended to the floor of the due pass recommendation.
Thank you. Senator Grinsky has moved House Bill 2188 as amended to the floor with a due pass. Discussion. Call the roll, please, Andrew.
Aye.
Brockman.
Aye.
Grinsky.
Aye.
Aye.
Springer.
Aye.
Cohen.
Aye. Motion carried. Thank you. Aye. Yes. Okay, well, let's move it. Do we have a state court administrator here on 2470?
Brad Swank.
Move 2470.
Brad Swank from that office is here to explain the amendment.
I'm not sure we can trust Brad Swank.
We're going to start looking at that criteria. We're in trouble on lot.
House Bill 2470 is at the request of the Department of Justice. This is the bill that would foreclose a defendant from objecting to a sentence of probation.
Oh, yeah.
There is an amendment that's been suggested by the Department of Corrections, and that's the addition of emergency clause. There are also some amendments that have not been LC'd yet, since I got them this morning from the state court administrator, Mr. Swank, can explain those.
For the record, my name is Brad Swank. I'm from the State Court Administrator's Office, and you have in front of you amendments that we have proposed that we worked out with the Attorney General's Office and the Appellate Division. The original bill, House Bill 2470, was intended to solve a problem from the Carmichael case and a subsequent case to that, the State versus Donovan case, 307 Oregon 461 in 1989, created some additional problems as a result of Carmichael. In the Carmichael case, the Supreme Court held that a person could refuse probation because probation was not a sentence. And the original 2470, without deciding whether or not probation is a sentence, the bill says you can't refuse it. And in addition to that, the problem that was created by Donovan was the question of how you appeal probation, since probation is not a sentence, and the two statutes that deal with review of a judgment of on conviction, which are ORS 138040 and 138050, talk about reviewing sentences. And it's created a problem. We sat down with the Attorney General's office and worked out a solution that would clarify that probation can be reviewed on appeal in the same manner as a sentence. And we also did it without deciding whether or not probation was a sentence, but by placing clearly in the Section 3 that you see in front of you that judgments or orders that are imposed after judgment that impose a sentence on conviction, suspend imposition or execution of sentence, place the defendant on probation, extend a period of probation, or impose or modify a condition of probation, or impose or execute a sentence upon revocation of probation or sentence suspension, are reviewable in the same manner that a sentence is reviewable today. It's language that was worked out over the last week and a half that the committee gave us since the bill was originally heard to look at this, that was designed to resolve this problem of how probation is appealed. If there are any questions.
So this, well, Senator Springer, and I guess I want to know before we get into the questions, it would not be my intention to pop this bill out right now today, but we need to ask our questions and make sure we get to the bottom of it and try to work it around a little. Senator Springer.
Yeah, I think it was just over a year ago at the request of the Interim Judiciary Committee, Chief Judge Joseph submitted a memorandum, which I think it was reviewed or perhaps prepared in part with your office, suggesting ways that we should try to narrow the grounds for review. And that's been one of our concerns, I think, for several years, generally, but also in the context of the question of, I think, sentencing guidelines. Some of the discussion has been, in part, you know, the scope or review. And I guess I'll need to satisfy myself that we're not going
broadening
unnecessarily in the opposite direction when we are so concerned about the cost. And the
I think I can point out to you in the amendments how it subjects in 138040 and 138050. In the Donovan case, basically the Supreme Court decided that because probation was not a sentence, they would review it, and they got to the review of it, but they reviewed it under the provisions that you now find on page 2 of the amendments, lines 3 and 4, any decision of the court in an intermediate order or proceeding. And in doing that, it was not subject to the limitations that you find in lines 9 through 11, whether it exceeds the maximum sentence allowable by law or is unconstitutionally cruel or unusual. And They did not review it, even though it was a person who had pled guilty under 138050, because it was not a sentence. So it wasn't subject to the limitations there. In calling in these amendments, you'll see starting on line 12 of page 1, a judgment or order, if the order is imposed after judgment of a court, is subject to ORS 138040 and 50 if its disposition includes any of the following. So we've used the term disposition rather than sentence, and in both 040 and 050, we have modified them to use the term disposition. So when you get back to the limitations on review, it's the disposition, not the sentence, that you're reviewing, subject to those limitations on review. Does that help? Was it?
Yeah. Yeah, that's helpful. Thank you.
Any other questions? Anything else you want to shed to make sure that we get the particular direction you're driving at with these amendments? We've now had on the record that you will be narrowing rather than expanding, or at least you're not expanding.
We're not expanding. We are making dispositions that are, we didn't call probation a sentence because there are problems with that, like whether you could impose probation after you'd suspended imposition of sentence. So we didn't use that term, but we made clear that probation is subject to the same review as a sentence, or as what is called a sentence under the Carmichael case, so that the procedures for going up and the limitations that apply to review on appeal are applicable to imposition of probation.
Any other questions?
Yes,
Senator Brockman.
I hate to do this, but it just strikes me wrong on
We've been waiting.
Well, I thought I was an English major on this committee. Lines 9 and 10 on page 3 of the amendments. Don't you administer a disposition and impose a punishment?
Actually, we argued a lot about that with the Attorney General's office. The current language starts out saying, in the judgment of the appellate courts, the punishment imposed, and then it gets talking down at the bottom, it says, to impose the punishment which should be administered. So it uses both terms. And the conclusion that we came to is that even though you could use either term, it would be better to make them consistent, and imposed was used in the old language in the top, so we put imposed at the bottom, and everybody seemed happier with that than administered, and so that's the reason we went with that language. But that was a point of discussion in the discussions that we've had over the last weeks.
As long as everyone is happy with it, I'm okay.
Okay. Further comments?
I'll refrain.
It's obviously not.
Well, I've got one, but I won't make it.
We'll make it now, or forever hold your peace. Let's do it now rather than have it when it comes back to us in a minute.
All right.
Senator Shoemaker.
Yes, you talk about disposition imposed, and then you look at what that relates to, and it relates to you're imposing the imposition of a sentence, a suspension, and placing, and extending, and then two more imposing. So aren't you kind of mixing your verbs?
We talked about that.
I'm going to turn this over to Jack to see if we can get some better grammatical configurations on that,
right,
and to work with some additional drafting and be in touch with Judge Joseph and people of that order and see what we can work out with respect to the language issues. Okay, Jack?
Sure.
Anything further? Okay. Thank you, Brad. We have people who wish to comment on the amendments. Come on up, Mr. Ferdinke.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, I'm David Ferdinke, Associate Director, ACLU of Oregon. Were the amendments to come before you, and without the underlying provisions of House Bill 2470, we would not have much of a problem with them. However, the two in conjunction, we believe, could cause real problems. As Bob Homan testified before you when this bill was up for a public hearing, we believe that House Bill 2470 would have the result of imposing unconstitutional conditions on people subject to probation. Layering these amendments on top of that may make it very difficult for defendants to challenge those unconstitutional conditions on appeal. Those conditions may not necessarily be considered cruel and unusual. They may be disproportionate. They may violate some other provision of the Constitution. I don't know what the best way is to deal with this. We do have problems with the underlying proposal. Perhaps one alternative.
Madam Chair?
Senator Schmidt.
Could you give us an example?